KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden announced that Israel and Hezbollah agreed to a U.S.-brokered ceasefire to begin within the hour.
The U.S. will play some role in assuring Hezbollah retreats. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is also hopeful this could have a positive effect on a possible ceasefire in Gaza, given that Hamas would not be able to rely on Hezbollah to distract Israeli forces if this ceasefire holds.
ABC's Martha Raddatz. Cop killing northeast of Dallas. Police in Greenville, Texas, say Officer Cooper Dawson was shot dead, ambushed during a foot chase after a traffic stop. The suspected killer, wounded, hospitalized in custody. A judge in Rockville, Maryland, ordered held without bail FBI Special Agent Eduardo Valdivia. He's accused of sexually assaulting multiple women through what investigators say was a modeling and tattoo scam. This is ABC News. The Biden administration pushing for Medicare and Medicaid coverage of anti-obesity medications, potentially expanding coverage to millions.
The White House says this new action would expand coverage for more than 7 million Americans enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid. Through that Medicare coverage, out-of-pocket costs for these obesity prescription drugs could go down by as much as 95% for some enrollees. But the incoming Trump administration would need to finalize this proposal for it to go into effect. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., President-elect Trump's pick to lead the Department of Health and Human Services, has been a fierce critic of weight loss drugs, saying they fail to address the root causes of obesity in the U.S. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Teams that made the baseball playoffs are divvying up the postseason money. A full share for the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers comes to more than $477,000, down from the two previous seasons as players divided a record pool of money among more people. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Giannis named Player of the Week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo named the NBA's Eastern Conference Player of the Week. That after leading the Bucks to a four-game winning streak. Right now, Giannis, averaging over 32 points a game, is the most in the NBA. The Bucks are in Miami to play the Heat. NFL, Packers safety Xavier McKinney made his seventh interception of the season against the 49ers Sunday night. The ball intended for Deebo Samuel. I asked McKinney what happened next.
So I just played for the tip, and luckily it bounced right to me. I was in the right spot, and I was able to make a play.
The Packers host the Dolphins Thursday night, kickoff at 7:20. Badgers football on Friday. Wisconsin hosts Minnesota at 11 a.m., playing for the Paul Bunyan Axe.
Regardless if it's Friday at 11 o'clock or if they'd have put it at Saturday at night. It comes down to a one-game season. It comes down to a battle for an axe, and anybody that can't get up for that doesn't belong to either one of these places.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and cold tonight, a low in the low teens. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 20s. It looks mostly cloudy for Thanksgiving Day, high in the mid-20s with a gusty breeze, a few flurries for Thursday night and Friday. Currently 21 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Jimmy Costa, guest host The Maggie Dawn Show. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. Hey, Cudigi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, 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 we have our friend Ruth Buffalo, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and big peeny geegy, Ruth, for coming on as always. I know you don't have to, but I know you're one of the fan favorites here, so we really appreciate you coming on, and people love hearing updates from you when you were representative, and now that you're here in the Twin Cities being the CEO of Minnesota Women's Resource Center. Congratulations, too, on the breaking ground of the new housing at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource. Welcome.
Domsha, hello, Matsugirad. Thank you for having me.
Right on. Well, again, hey, congratulations. Tell us a little bit about the celebration. That sounds cool. And I know we had another guest on that mentioned this, too. I can't remember, Haley, who was that?
Senator Mary Kunish.
Yeah, Senator Mary Kunish brought this up. I have a good memory, but it's short. We only have like six guests. How can I not remember? What the heck?
It's good to see both of you. I'm dialing in from Fargo, the office here in Fargo. We're on our way to Mandaree to spend time with family, get to see the twin nephews and see my mom, brother, sisters, uncles, cousins, nieces. I get to see Mandaree, so I'm looking forward to it. But we left this morning and got here today. It's kind of cool to be dialing in from the office space near downtown in Fargo right now.
That's awesome. You know, I don't want to go dark right now, but I think it's really important that we need to bring up what happened to a lot of the land that your grandfather knew as your land, and not that long ago with the damming of the river. I wonder if you could just, because we love to educate our white allies here on Native Roots Radio too, and they probably don't know that story.
Yeah, so Elba Woods is a area that is currently underwater, and it's been underwater for a few decades. But when I hear of the elders speak of Elba Woods, it sounds like Pleasantville. You know, it was like a land of abundance, you know, tall cottonwood trees, very self-sufficient, centralized community, and also self-sufficient in the fact that we were historically agricultural people or peoples, and so we had a lot of crops, and other tribal nations would come to us for work or to be like a hired hand. And I say that in a non-arrogant way, but just sharing that, like, that was some of the stories that were shared with me, was that, you know, true to our nature, or being known as like the ambassadors of the prairie, we were a very giving people, much like many of the native tribal nations throughout North America. We also ran one of the largest trade centers in North America, which is in present day Bismarck, Mandan area along the Missouri River. And so one fun fact too is that we're known to be really good swimmers, also really good horse people, you know. But we grew up on the river, we grew up on the lake. We always heard stories too of kind of some dark things, you know, just things that would deter us from like swimming at night and things. But later in life, we learned, you know, the fact that, you know, cemeteries had to be dug up and relocated, you know, as well as, you know, when we were the forced relocation from Elba Woods to like present day where Mandaree is, or west of Mandaree is in Independence area. And that was the area that my grandparents relocated to after 94% of our agricultural land was flooded for the making of the Garrison Dam. And that was, you know, a result of the Pick-Sloan Act, a federal piece of legislation that impacted tribal nations and communities up and down the Missouri River. There's a story out too recently regarding a boarding school in Crow Creek, and a few of our women from MHA are featured in that story, and one is our relatives. They're related to crow's breasts, and they spoke about their experience at, you know, a boarding school in South Dakota, and it mentioned the dam and Fort Berthold being, you know, the condition that it was in, and that a lot of people made the tough choice to send their children away to boarding schools. And I know that that is similar to my grandparents and my mom's story. Like, even to back up further, my grandparents, they were sent to Pipestone boarding school in Minnesota. And this is on my mom's side of the family. And then my mom was 5 years old when she was sent just an hour south of Fargo to Wahpeton Indian boarding school. But when the flooding happened, it fragmented all of our communities into like six different districts or segments. And there's a lot of research and studies behind it validating that the flooding of our 94% of our agricultural land had a huge devastating life impact on our people, but we're still resilient and we're here today. But some of the impacts included like diabetes, alcoholism, you know, all these other different things that were on the unhealthy side of coping. And so, that's just kind of some of the things that come to mind. But what I was going to mention is that the new school bus line didn't go out to Independence, to where my mom and grandparents relocated. So they were too far out in the country. And so then the other option was for them to be sent to boarding school, you know. And I don't believe that those institutions or entities were upfront when they shared, you know, all that it entailed, you know, because I grew up, I remember hearing some not so good stories, but were very PG level for my ears at that time. But later in life, you know, even after Kamloops happened, my mom shared even more stories. And that was just like 4 years ago, you know, stories that I had just heard for the first time. So.
Wow. Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. I think it's important, and it's really important too, because it's not that long ago that these things happen. You know, your grandfather, you knew your grandfather, you knew your mother, and then of course what you and your family have gone through too. So I just think it's important that we educate all our listeners and go there real quick, seeing that, especially that you're visiting your family now this week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing my family. It's been a while. I know my mom has made a few trips down to Fargo and to the cities to come visit us, but gosh, I think the last time I was back home was maybe last spring or maybe even a year ago, you know, so, much more snow up this way, the halfway point between Fargo and Minneapolis, there's a lot more snow and temperature dropped quite a bit. So definitely feeling the north.
Well, I know Haley can't wait till the snow, but I'm old. I don't ski or do anything except, hope I don't slip on the ice. That's my hobby.
Yeah, let's hope that.
Yeah, it's like it would be cool if they started some new invention of like sprinkling sand out, you know, in front of your car or in front of like rose petals, but sand so that it could keep you safe. Just kidding.
Flamethrower or something like that. Hey, we got a lot more to talk to Ruth Buffalo, CEO of Minnesota Indian Resource Center, all the good work that's happened there, and maybe an update on Leonard Peltier. Hey, we're still here. We are the seventh generation. This is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
A home that needs new everything. Plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we are here with our friend Ruth Buffalo, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and we're just catching up and really talking about the history of her nation, where she comes from, and her family, and really appreciate talking about that. And sometimes it's hard to talk about past, but we're resilient and we're still here. And Ruth, you do such great work, and we really appreciate you coming on each week too. Hey, I got a quick question here. You guys had a market Monday, and then you're going to have another market on December 13th. How was that? And can you tell us what the hours are and what's going on with that?
Sure. Yep. Yesterday we had our fall feast, a big drum. Sorry, I'm learning so much in my new role as in being outside of the plains area or away from the Missouri River. Hey, no, just kidding. My disclaimer, or the Red River, but or being near the Mississippi River. But yeah, there's so I'm learning so much, first of all. And so yeah, we had a fall feast, and it was good. My daughter and the boy twin were able to join, and the girl twin was at basketball practice, but Maya didn't want to leave. She was like, because she had to leave to go pick up the girl twin, but she was saying, I hope we have more of these. I hope they have more of these, you know, and it did in a sense feel like home, back home on the res, or it just felt very familiar, you know, having like a drum group in the middle of the floor, and then community members there, and you could go out there and enjoy the songs, and then there was a meal served and prayers, and it was a ceremony. But it was good. And then the winter market will be December 13th, and the hours will be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., I believe. So since I've been at MIWRC, there has been a spring market, a fall market, and now a winter market, and all of the vendor slots are full. And so we're excited to welcome in the community, and then, you know, get some shopping in and support our local artists for sure.
Yeah, that's really important. And Ruth, we always like to bring up, if it's for sale, anyone can wear it, you know. And when you go to those open markets too, you always want to ask who designed this or who made this too, because if they can't tell you, it was somebody from overseas in China or somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. I know, it reminds me of like some of the items that have been somehow landed in other countries over time, even sacred items, and then how many tribal nations and communities, families, individuals rallied together to bring those items back. I think of different tribes, like even in the Southwest, who, you know, while they were doing international work, came across one of their sacred headdresses in a museum over there, and then worked with different countries and found allies amongst the different countries to get those items returned to the communities, you know. So yeah, for sure, that's where my mind went. You think of like, yeah.
No, that's a good thing to bring up too, especially to the people listening to this, because things are really changed in the last 10, 15, 20 years too, that we really would like these returned when we see these. And geez, we've seen them over the years. I mean, I'm old, so I've seen things that shouldn't be in antique stores that, you know, belong to certain nations and families, and how did they get it, and all those wonderments that they would come with these sacred items.
Yeah, for sure. And I think with good reason, there's been, you know, like federal legislation or just different legislation enacted for those protections in place. But yeah, you would hope that everyone was acting how do you say it? Sorry, I got tongue-tied. But, you know, you just would hope that people would be good relatives and just respecting. Being respectful.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things I got notes here about too, I know there's a big push now, especially with the changing of the executive president here in the United States, is to have Biden really move forward and do a good thing for our Uncle Leonard. Have you heard any updates, or are there any actions, or are there anything that we can do here?
Yeah, I think for sure. I haven't heard from Leonard recently, but I know there's just always an ongoing push to encourage and put public pressure on President Joe Biden, whether it's going directly to the White House, you know, through correspondence or phone calls and messages, but also going through your respective different governmental officials, you know, whether it's, you know, at the congressional level, Senate level, state government level, local government level, all of that is important, because if they don't hear from you, then it's assumed that nobody cares, or, you know, but of course, those are just kind of the structures that are in place right now, I think, that are some avenues to use. But for sure, always encouraging President Joe Biden to grant Leonard Peltier executive clemency. I think sometimes people get things confused with the terminology, and it's not, you shouldn't ask for a pardon, because pardon is admitting to a crime, and Leonard, you know, stands firm in his innocence, and so it would be executive clemency. And I believe that list usually comes out at the end of December, because when I remember when I went, had gotten invited to go visit him shortly after it was before the 2022 election, but I was going through papers and found a, you know, letter from him with like application to apply to get on his visitors list. But so I had gone to visit him that December, at the end of December. So it was crazy because right when I got into Orlando, the list came out, and that was kind of a hard thing to see, was that his name wasn't on the executive clemency list from President Biden back then. And that was like in 2022.
Well, we've gone through Clinton, who was supposed to do it. And I mean, all the presidents, Obama, all these other presidents that we thought were going to do it. And we just hope and pray that Leonard can see the sky and the sunshine and the moon very soon as a free man. So one of the things, since Standing Rock, you know, we started the show and I got really active during that whole Standing Rock situation, and we started the radio show. I've been calling Thanksgiving Thanks-taking since then. How do you feel about this holiday? Because I know it's a great holiday to get together with family. And then maybe not really think about the meaning or the public meaning about it, but more about being thankful for our relatives. It's hard to live in two worlds sometimes, and this is one of the times for me.
Yeah, I think, you know, I appreciate like the time off, like the designated time off, you know, to I appreciate the annual leave. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, to be with family and to, you know, it's, for me, it's just always trying to find ways to get years added back onto our life, you know, because with all the stress, chronic stress is directly correlated to chronic illness. And it's like, I think, you know, COVID, of course, exposed a lot of gaps within different systems. And it was so important to find ways to like take care of ourselves and not just be like 8 to 5 sedentary desk jobs where you're like kind of killing yourself softly by sitting in an office job, you know? And so how do you add years onto your life? And so I think that that's an important component. If like the country that we live in, you know, present day United States had more options for worksite wellness or just ways for people to take care of themselves, like whether it was like a trip to the ocean once a year, you know, or something, you know, where it was like a prescriptive amount of time paid for, of course, but like in the wilderness, or, you know, just something to that effect of like helping people live longer, I think, so that, you know, everybody has that opportunity and privilege to live a good, healthy, simple life. And so, yeah, that's what kind of comes to mind. But yeah, I think just the narratives that have been pushed throughout our country's history are quite interesting. Like if there was a timeline of that showed, you know, that cross referenced, you know, actual like fact checked, you know, like, you know, just things and the narrative. Yeah, I think, because it's, I think sometimes the fluffy narrative is scary in a sense that it's like, you know, hiding or masking what actually happened. And then, and then you get ostracized or gaslit for trying to tell the true story. And then you're back right back at square one, you know? So it's like a tough thing to navigate. But I think even when I was, you know, a high schooler here in Fargo, I felt like, how am I going to help educate every single school and you know, go county by county, because I used to get invited to speak at schools and give educational presentations and try to break stereotypes, but it's a lot.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden announced that Israel and Hezbollah agreed to a U.S.-brokered ceasefire to begin within the hour.
The U.S. will play some role in assuring Hezbollah retreats. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is also hopeful this could have a positive effect on a possible ceasefire in Gaza, given that Hamas would not be able to rely on Hezbollah to distract Israeli forces if this ceasefire holds.
ABC's Martha Raddatz. Cop killing northeast of Dallas. Police in Greenville, Texas, say Officer Cooper Dawson was shot dead, ambushed during a foot chase after a traffic stop. The suspected killer, wounded, hospitalized in custody. A judge in Rockville, Maryland, ordered held without bail FBI Special Agent Eduardo Valdivia. He's accused of sexually assaulting multiple women through what investigators say was a modeling and tattoo scam. This is ABC.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Giannis named Player of the Week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo named the NBA's Eastern Conference Player of the Week. That after leading the Bucks to a four-game winning streak. Right now, Giannis, averaging over 32 points a game, is the most in the NBA. The Bucks are in Miami to play the Heat. NFL, Packers safety Xavier McKinney made his seventh interception of the season against the 49ers Sunday night. The ball intended for Deebo Samuel. I asked McKinney what happened next.
So I just played for the tip, and you know, luckily it bounced right to me. I was in the right spot, and I was able to make a play.
The Packers host the Dolphins Thursday night, kickoff at 7:20. Badgers football on Friday. Wisconsin hosts Minnesota at 11 a.m., playing for the Paul Bunyan Axe.
Regardless if it's Friday at 11 o'clock or if they'd have put it at Saturday at night. It comes down to a one-game season. It comes down to a battle for an axe, and anybody that can't get up for that doesn't belong in either one of these places.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickhead Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and cold tonight, a low in the low teens. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 20s. It looks mostly cloudy for Thanksgiving Day, high in the mid-20s with a gusty breeze, a few flurries for Thursday night and Friday. Currently 21 degrees.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I have an all-star lineup of John Legend, Jenny Slate, Adam Brody, and the one and only John Grise, also known as Uncle Rico. And I'm joined by musical guest Eric Ratzak from Ask Your Mother and Eric Jellin from Mascot Theory.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is presented in partnership with the Minnesota Historical Society, preserving and sharing Minnesota's heritage for the benefit of all Minnesotans.
Yes. Hey, we are with our friend Rita Arndt, Program and Outreach Manager with Native American Initiatives at the Minnesota Historical Society. Welcome as always, Rita. How you doing?
Good. Bonjour, Haley. Bonjour, Robert. How are you?
Good. And it's so cool to hear you with your setup there. I always love that your husband's a gamer and that your microphone's nicer than mine.
Yeah, and it's kind of wild because I'm like, he doesn't really stream, so I don't know why he really needs all of this. But you know what? Whatever. As long as I'm getting something out of it.
There you go. That's awesome. Hey, so we got some programs we want to talk about. We always love checking in on what's happening at the Minnesota Historical Society. You have a Our Teens program coming up. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So there's a team program that Native American Initiatives run, and it's called Reconnecting Our Roots, which I think is just a super neat name. And we call it ROAR for short because we love our acronyms. And it's essentially, we realized we had some artist programs, we have a college program, but we weren't really reaching the youth. So we thought, well, let's develop a team program to kind of get them more interested in Native history and culture and really learn from stuff at the Historical Society, but also community members to really just know more, to get the feel of things and to maybe hopefully put a little spark in their mind to come into the history field, come into the museum field and think about us down the road as they their paths go on.
Yeah, definitely. And I see Haley's wearing one of those shirts, too. I should have been wearing mine. I didn't get the memo.
One of my favorite shirts, Reconnecting Our Roots. I think they were doing a vending at one of the Ho-Chunk.
I can't hear you.
Oh, one of the Ho-Chunk 5Ks.
Can you hear me, Rita?
I don't know.
We just lost Rita.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Maybe
the batteries went on her, but... Yeah, it's great. We wanted to talk about the T-shirts.
I know.
you know, Wendy always brings somebody up to our closet for the first-time visitor and shows her my 600 T-shirts and goes, he has to wear one of these for 2 years before he wears them all. And, now we can't hear you, Rita. Can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. And of course, I was worried because he's not here. So I'm like, if I have technical difficulties, hopefully.
Well, I saw the cat behind you unplugging stuff.
Probably. He is an instigator, so I wouldn't doubt that.
He was smiling as he walked by the screen, and I thought he might have unplugged your headphones. But really? Yeah, we were just talking about T-shirts and how that's one of the favorite T-shirts Haley and I own, and Haley was agreeing.
Yeah, well, I didn't know anything about the teen program until I talked to one of your vendors, and they were vending at one of the Ho-Chunk 5Ks. And that was great. They're out in community, and they're letting the youth know what's going on.
Yeah, and I just greatly appreciate being able to get the word out more and more. Like we designed it for like a Twin Cities program, but we've been able to have students who are from outer suburbs. A lot of it is we do rely on transportation from a parent or a guardian, or perhaps the student themselves to be able to get to the History Center or to other places that we go. We go to the Mill City Museum because we have a food sovereignty day there. They have a kitchen there that we utilize, and we bring in a chef to talk about, you know, indigenous food sovereignty, indigenous foods, and just they cook up a meal and they share a meal together. So it's really great.
Yeah, I can't say this enough. To people that have or haven't been you know, to the Minnesota Historical Society lately. It's got a great vibe. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with your work, Rita, and the whole Native American initiative that goes on there now. And because our history is so important to Minnesota history.
Oh, 100%. And we just celebrated 175 years of the Minnesota Historical Society. And I was, we had our annual meeting, and I was lucky to be part of it to talk about our home Native Minnesota and to be able to talk about our work. And so many people, members and board members and all these other things, are so excited that we are at this place with the Native history and culture and really ingraining it in our programming, in our exhibits and other things like that. So it's a great time to be at the Historical Society.
That's awesome. So, you know, just to circle back, that's kind of a wagon train kind of term, isn't it? Circling back. But to go back to what we were talking about, reconnecting our roots, what are the qualifications? Are you a descendant, an enrollee? What is it, anybody that just wishes or...
Native teens, we're looking for high schoolers right now. We haven't developed anything for younger folks, but Native teens who are able to get to the History Center and some of the sites in the Twin Cities to be able to participate. It's an after-school program on Thursdays from 4 to 8 p.m., and it starts January 9th and goes through February 27th. So I believe it's 7 weeks. I don't know now. Now I can't count. 6 weeks, 7 weeks. It's several weeks. But they would be able to come and to do all kinds of things. And like Haley put up, is there's the flyer and there's the link to apply. And we just want to know what's interested you in history. Why do you want to learn more about your culture? What are you looking to reconnect? And we have an interview with the students, but we also with the parents too, because I know a lot of parents might be like, hey, this would be good for you. You should sign up. And the kid's like, well, what is it really? But they have a good time. I feel like they do, but that's my little bias.
Right. Well, it's better than your parents forcing you into piano lessons, let's say, or go down to the museum and have some fun.
Yeah. And like learn all kinds of different things. So I think it's a really great thing. And then an added bonus is we have a $500 stipend at the end of the program for the students who participate. So we want to, you also instill, you know, accountability, responsibility, being in that space and like holding community in a different way too. So it's a really great way to just bring a lot of our teachings together as well. And I think that's just a fun way to do all kinds of things. And we feed the students, so you get some good food.
Jeez, I grew up at the wrong time here. The feeding part, I would have been there.
This is a great program for our teens. You mentioned like culinary stuff and you talked about food sovereignty. What else do the teens get to do in the program, Reconnecting Our Roots?
So since we are museum based from the Historical Society, we do spend time in exhibits, and then we'd get a nice visit. We get to do some research in the collections, see some of that historic, some of those historic items. And it's really fun. And I like to take the youth down there because one, I like to crack jokes. And also that is my background is the Native collection. So it's really showing, be like, hey, oh, are you Ojibwe? Let's show you some Ojibwe things, because this is a time for them to, you know, learn more about their culture and where they come from. And so that's a really nice thing too. We try to align some of the stuff with their tribal nations so that we can be like, hey, this is related to, you know, like get excited because it's related to your family. And I think people do get excited. They get to see things that they recognize, they know about, and they learn more. So it's a fun thing.
Yeah, you know, when we did that the pictures show, when we had all those photographs, that was exciting because there was people down there that knew the people that were the people, and so that vibe was there for that too. That was really fun. And then you and I did radio for a couple hours, or it seemed like a couple hours.
It's like, yeah, it did seem like a long time. No, it was good. I was looking at pictures of that because, yeah, that exhibit is still up. So we'll talk with the students about how we develop stuff and really reframing our stories really talks about some issues in our communities that some are still very relevant today. So I look forward to, I don't want them to learn, but also in a fun way. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't want to have them be like talked at all the time. So we try to develop it to be more interactive, to have it to do different things, mix it up, so it's not always being talked at like at school.
Yeah. Hey, so do you lead these classes, or how does that work? You have helpers, or?
So it's kind of a team effort for NAI, but Deacon DeBoer, who was on your show a couple of weeks ago, he's leading the program right now. But we all come together because we have different strengths, so we come in to help within those different areas. So it's actually really fun because it is a thing where we work together on a project, and then I think we all like supporting the youth in different ways.
That's awesome. So you're the jokester. You're giving out, like I used to, the dad jokes, and the kids just love those.
And I sometimes am the mean auntie, but that also needs to happen sometimes at times. And I am more than thrilled to fill that role. So it's always, I want to get them engaged. I want to get them talking. So I just keep going at them.
Yeah. Give them the mean auntie look for sure. That's awesome. That'll get them going. Well, I was always told by my students when I taught high school that I should be a comedian. And I said, well, I am. And I get paid well and I have a retirement and and I get the summers off. But that's a whole nother story. Hey, we're here with Rita Arndt, and we're talking about, you know, this reconnecting our roots. Is it roots or roots? I just never know. Native roots or native roots.
Yeah, we have this conversation a lot, it seems like. We can never figure it out.
Yeah, I'm so Minnesotan, I say roots.
Yeah,
but
that's correct for us.
Yeah, it is, definitely. Well, we need to take a break here, it looks like, right?
Yeah, in about a minute or cool. So.
Hey, Rita, can you hold on with us? We want to talk to you some more.
Sure.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and I'm awake, and we're still here. This is the seventh generation, and we'll be right back after this quick break.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Step into the world of movement and Native culture at Niniwin, now showing at All My Relations Arts. Niniwin is translated as Everyone Dance. This moving multimedia exhibition, curated by Josie Hoffman, delves into the connection between movement and identity, drawing inspiration from dance and powwow traditions. It showcases the work of indigenous artists from Minnesota, emphasizing the fluidity of movement in our bodies, land, and community. Witness Niniwin and its powerful expression on indigenous art. On display now through January 18th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Get ready to bake with I Am Betty. The smash hit musical returns to the History Theater now through December 29th. Explore 100 years of women's history through Betty Crocker. While she wasn't a real person, Betty Crocker was a media personality and cultural icon who shaped homes and kitchens for generations. Don't miss last season's runaway hit with catchy songs and heartwarming stories. So grab your big red cookbook and head to the History Theater. Tickets at historytheater.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Wow. Hey, we're back, and we're here with Rita Arndt, Program and Outreach Manager with Native American Initiatives at the Minnesota Historical Society, and welcome back.
Hello.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, Hey, you had the screening of Bad River. Can you tell us how that went down and what happened that day? I couldn't make it out there, but I'm glad you guys had that showing. And how did it go?
Yeah, we had a screening for the Bad River documentary at the History Center. We're lucky that there is an auditorium there where we can have screenings, have lectures, have all kinds of talks. So it was a great space for that. And Thursday nights are our free night at the History Center for the museum. And I heard that it was the most people that they've seen for a very long time, I think pre-COVID. So that was one good sign that we're bringing people in. And I do hope that they were able to visit the museum as well after. But we wanted to have spark conversations about the importance of water, the importance of the land, and all kinds of things like that. So like just I was like, I don't want to say I was eavesdropping, but hearing folks really talk about it. And so many folks came up to us to say thank you, said thank you for sharing that. And what I really appreciated it, there were Native people there, but there was a lot of non-Native people. And I think that's even better in my case for people mm-hmm. watching that, because they need to know, understand better about why the water is important, why that pipeline shouldn't be there, and why all of this is so ingrained in our traditions and our culture. So I really appreciated that too. And it was a nice crowd because it was also right after the election. So it was a nice crowd to be around because they are mm-hmm. all very important, you know, want to talk about these things and care about the environment, care about caring for things, and really want to support our communities. So it was really nice night.
That is nice. And, you know, that's what we do here. You know, most of the people that listen to us, we're on 30 progressive radio stations, are white allies. And that's why it's so important for us to talk about what we talk about. And the people that watch us on Facebook Live in the next 24 hours are Native relatives. So it's really quite cool. But, yeah, I believe, too, that the more information we can get out there, and you know, it's stuff that a lot of us know as Natives, but some mm-hmm. of us don't, but it's great to share this wisdom, because everywhere I go, it's really interesting. People come up to me and just love the fact that we have great guests like you that are educating our allies out there, and even our Native allies too, and our Natives. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we tried to make sure to share information of what to do more to support Bad River. And so we, shared the websites where to send money and all of these other things. And people were just really excited about that, too. So I'm just glad that we had that opportunity and had it at a different area. And like, I know it's on streaming now, but I think it's also nice for when people can come together mm-hmm. to watch the film and then have discussions afterwards. And of course, we fed them, too, because we love food, and we will always get you with food.
Yeah. Well, we should have a film festival down there. And I would say Powwow Highway Bring and Smoke Signals would be two good Thursday night. You get a full group of people to come down and reminisce that too, and watch that. And I can't get enough of those two movies, so I'll be there. Yeah.
Where is the History Center located, Rita? I know you guys have a lot of like locations with the Native American Initiatives Program and the Historical yeah. Society. Yeah, where is like so the main History Center?
Yeah, there's 26 sites throughout the state. And just to FYI, not every old building is part of the Historical Society. Because people ask, they're like, oh, I visited your thing. I'm like, you didn't. But anyway, but our main building is a History Center, and that's where most of our materials, our collections, and resources are. And that is in St. Paul off of Kellogg Boulevard, 345 West Kellogg Boulevard. It's in between the cathedral and the Capitol. So it's got beautiful views on each side, which mm-hmm. I think they did on purpose, but it's really nice to be able to look out the windows at those lovely buildings.
Well, that one room, you can see the Capitol perfectly. It's framed in a big, big wall of glass windows. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and I was like, that's a really photogenic hallway, because then you can get that in the background and with the right light. So if you just want to see a good view of the Capitol, please come to the History Center. And then while you're there, please visit our home, Native Minnesota, and Reframing Our Stories, as well as our other exhibits.
And ask for Rita. For a private tour.
good luck. Yes. I'm like, you can.
Get down to those archives in the basement or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perhaps.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what else do you want to talk about? Because there's stuff coming up this next year. We're all kind of winding down here, the 2024. And I'm sure you have a lot of great things planned for the next year, too.
Yeah, we definitely do. I like that our team program's the next on our list, but we will start recruiting for our Native American Undergraduate Museum Fellows program. And we're kind of making it a little more robust and in-person 10 weeks for next summer. So we're really excited about that. And another thing, a little with what Deacon talked on last time, was about the signage projects. There's going to be more signage projects coming. So we're excited to be able to collaborate on that, to tell those histories and spaces that, you know, don't necessarily have a small museum or visitor center, but people walk there, they engage with the space. So how can we like teach people what happened in these spaces around there too? Another big thing is that our Associate Vice President of Tribal Nations Relations, Dr. Amber Annis, is leaving us to go work at the Native Governance Center, which I'm really sad about.
Oh,
although we have a position opening. So if somebody's interested in working as a VP for Tribal Nations Relations and at the Historical Society, really working with our sites, working with the Native communities, working with the collections, working with programming, please send them our ways. We are looking for somebody to fill that spot. And I think it's a great position. And I was like, then you can go work with me. And I think that also is a plus, but it's a really, I feel like it's an enjoyable job and to really learn more about, you know, history and culture here.
Yeah. Well, we're going to miss her. And I know I saw that and I kind of was pleasantly surprised and, you know, moving on. And I was thinking, Rita, you were going to take over the spot. Oh, wow.
Temporarily, kind of, but I may have other things in my mind for the future. So stay tuned for that.
Oh,
exciting.
We might have to have you on every day to get these updates.
Yeah. Do you guys offer like only like mostly full-time positions, or are there any part-time positions? I know.
The majority of our part-time positions are usually seasonal based on our sites, because a lot of the historic sites are open seasonally because they only function in the, you know, the summer, mainly in the summer months. So that's where most of our employees are from, are part-time. But there are a lot of different positions that have varying hours, Haley. So if you want to know.
Haley, yeah, the more you know, you guys.
Haley, I know someone that you can talk to, Rita.
Rita would be a great person to talk to.
Yeah. Haley works full time, but she only gets part time pay here, so she's got a lot.
Yeah, right. I don't think I would ever do that.
I'm kidding. Yeah, but yeah. So we got a minute left, Rita. Give out the address and the website and Facebook for our listeners to check in all these great things that are happening down in the Minnesota Historical Society.
Yeah, our website to know more information is mnhs.org/NAI, and that leads to a lot of our programs, our collections, our resources, and such like that. We do have a Facebook and Instagram for Native American initiatives. I believe that one is also at mnhs.NAI, so you can find that. I was like, if you get confused, just see what our main channel is, and they reshare our posts every once in a while. So please follow us.
Wow. Thank you so much for coming on. Great information. And what a great partnership. And we'll be looking forward to having you on again real soon.
Yeah, it's always good talking with you, Robert and Haley.
Right on. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is the sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a pre-Thanksgiving special, Trigvy Olsen, The Lincoln Project, and Pat Kreitlow with a Martha Stewart recipe. Be with us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.